Okay, so perhaps others will prepare the tickle panel. So I want to show about the state of the tickle. My main purpose is to get tickle 9 out of the door, and I want to list up all the efforts which were done in tickle 9, which are all there, a bit of sleeping, and should be put into the wild, into the public, to prove what will be happen. So first the release cycle. At the beginning we had 2 releases per year, then we switched to 1 release per year for some years, and at the moment we are in 1 release each 2 years. So that to remark. And tickle 9 does not even have an alpha release yet. Okay. We have the bundled packages, and they are released with tickle TK. Bundle packages are something great because at least someone cares. Disadvantage is they may block releases. So now I will show up new work done since tickle 8.6. So what is what I call in tickle 9? The truth is a bit more complicated. And the purpose why I'm listing that up is for your information, and is also to give honor, because behind each point, there is a person who has worked for 6 months on a point, and well, that was 7 years ago, and it's still sleeping, and often people go away, and I think that's quite a pity. And we have so many great things in Tickle 9 we could use each day. I want to thank Ashok. He has at a certain time made a blog on what is new. And just for your confusion, we sometimes speak about Tickle 8.7 and sometimes we speak about Tickle 9. 8.7 has most of the new activities, but is more compatible to 8.6. And Tickle 9 is the version which should break anything what is reasonable. So that's the point. But most development was a bit in both. And it will be part of the discussion how to continue with Tickle 8.7. I personally focus on Tickle 9 when I speak about it. Okay. So we have new commands. The regsub minus command was in February 2017. It is a really new one where you can do a lot of things in a very elegant way. For example, here in one line, a parser for the percent encoding up there. So we have list new commands. We have the LSeq we have just seen. This a great one. And about the question of Markus, who is not sitting anymore over there, for example, of course, for each with an LSeq, so with an abstract list, does not generate the list. So for each just takes the next and next and next, and it can be endless, and the list is never created. So for each you can use with LSeq and never created. So that's great optimization. We have array default, array for dict, and the dict default. So we have the defaults if value is not set. So that's also something, as far as I know, coming from Jim. String is dict, do not do shimmering, less than, greater than, so comparison of strings. We have clock at weekdays. We have some historical things which were removed, the case commands, the ccl backslash. Okay, program flow. So especially in coroutines, we can inject into a running or now stopped coroutines some data. So we can manipulate it. We can play God from the outside while the coroutine is running. We don't need additional mechanisms to do that. Info command type. We have the V-weight with event filtering, which is, well, way detailed V-weight now with timeout and so on. It is a big improvement. We have the timer rate for exact measurement. We have some changes in package names. I think it's also on the list of Rolf. We have the package file introspection to find out what's in, and we have the build info mechanism to find out how Tickle and TK and so on was built. Especially on Linux, you have big information how it was built. Okay, about numbers. Octal, death to the octal is one of the main points, so prefixes, no octal. We have floating point classification. We have the underscores in Constance. I'm personally not very happy about that one. We have seen the consequences. But anyway, get it out. Don't moan. If something's called like that or like that, sometimes I just have to say end of discussion. Okay, someone wanted it. Accept it. We have comments and exceptions. We have the binary scan for zero terminated data, so typically what is done in C. The abstract layer with a sublist, so that's just a small line here, but that's a really huge improvement done by Ashok. So you can take L range from somewhere to somewhere and the list not copied. You can insert at the beginning of the list and the list not copied. So that is great improvement in processing. T-cell precision is gone. Int does not wrap around, so it's like end here now. That's something Rolf wanted to show, and he didn't go into the details, but that's really something what can be interesting. Yeah. All those things are on purpose. They are good changes. We don't, before it depended on the platform what happened. Now it doesn't. So that's great. So file names. We have the /// file names, which are now used as a server name. We have the tempdir. We have the tilde expansion, which is gone. We have glob, which is now always no complain. And then we have the encoding story about file names. Currently big discussion and big confusion, I would say. Not many people and who really know what's happening, what is reality, and I invite anybody to look into it, what will be the best solution to solve. So what's happening actually is that you can make a glob, you get a file name, and then you make open on the file name, and the file name is not found. So that's what's happening. We had that in Tickle 8.3 with Windows. We don't have it anymore on Windows, but on Linux, that's easily possible. So that's a point to solve. Okay, I/O. We have the great zip virtual file system included. So now we have a library file, a DLL, and Tickle files are in the zip file behind. If you now build Tickle, you don't get any Tickle files anymore. They are linked to the TCL lib at the end. So that's what's happening. And the lib is opened as a library, as a zip file, and the files are read from that. So that's great new functionality. So the whole StarKit stuff is now included in Tickle. We have some serial interface stuff. We have VFS channel closing. We have new socket options. We have cookie support for HTTP package. We have some more, which HTTP package made a lot of changes. We have internal changes, so the Linux select call was replaced by epoll or kq. We have the extended file start. And for me, the most important is that the EOF char is not anymore activated by default. So what we have at the moment is, for me, is just horrible. You open a file on Linux, you do it, you read something, you do the same on Windows, there the EOF file default is control Z, and suddenly your socket closes. And you don't know why. So that's the EOF char. That's the EOF char stuff. It is. If it would be me, I would just remove the whole stuff in 9. It didn't happen like that. Don't moan. Object-oriented. So a lot of stuff happened here. private variables, export and export, slots. I don't know. I'm for me, OO is anyway magic. I only did the last one, the MSG cut, but there are a lot of stuff happening there, how to do callbacks on OO, self on my class, on classes, fconfigure properties, so classes and objects can have properties which are accessed very similar to fconfigure. So here are a lot of changes. Okay, encoding. For me, the most difficult point, because up to now it was not exact, and we have a lot of problems there, and we are still in discussions. So TCL 8.7 use surrogates for emotions, TIP 389, as it is used in TCL 8.6.11. As we know from some wizards, that see there's a big break to use surrogates instead of the whole UTF-8. So we have UTF-8 and we have two surrogate pairs, and the resulting bugs are endless. So we just recently had a ticket for the text widget about it, about text and so on. So that's really endless discussion we have to get away from that. The Unicode encoding at the current state is platform dependent. It can be little Indian, big Indian, and it is replaced by all those right descriptions. And we have quite a big set. Some are with surrogates, some are without. So encodings quite increase. We have encoding profiles. So that's great stuff. So what happens if we have encoding error, or we have encoding is not complete? So we can error out, we can do what TCL 8 did, so just do something that it fits a certain way, or we can use the standard Unicode replace character or the encoding dependent replace character. The default's not yet decided, and there's a new profile, lossless, which not yet voted, and is in the discussion about the file. The idea is to glob a file and then to be always able to open it. The source command always uses UTF-8. This will break tons of scripts. If you are in the US, no problem, but if you're already in Germany, if you have comments where you have at the moment typed something, and even if they're in comments, now they're interpreted differently. They are not valid UTF-8, and your stuff will crash.
Depends on the IO default,
yes. Yes. But for me, it should crash. I want to have TCL 9 any reasonable change in. I don't moan, I just say it is like that. The CAPE, we have a new APE to get the size of the encoding zero character, which should be at the end, so the null character, if it is 1 byte, 2 byte, or 4 byte. And the encoding error reporting of channel is an open issue. So that's a point I hope we will discuss in the panel. The CAPI, we have the new link array possibility to link a C array to a list. We have some restorals, we have the VA interface, legacy, which goes away. We have what we have just seen, the TGL object with for custom types. We have the new server, open server, so the socket server, where we had some points we couldn't access. Way important change is that anything what is about size is now of the type pointer diff under slash t. That means that it's a 36-bit on a 40, it's a 63-bit, I'm sorry for the German mix-up, bit number on a 64-bit system. That means that the number of list elements, that the length of a string, that the number of
command arguments, we have many places where we currently have a certain limit, which is often 30 or 31 bits, perhaps plus one or minus one, that's not always clear, which are put up to this number. And that's the main purpose of Tickle 9, to have this change. Yeah, to handle big data. Yeah. And also, again, Rolf has made tests here. It's not easy to test who has a list with how is it 2 billion elements to test that. So you need the memory for that. Okay. You have TCL get int for index, which will pass the end minus logic, which especially will be used in TK a lot. So we have a lot of things where we can use that syntax where it was not possible before. The TCL object type is extensible. We have just seen that by Brian with the version field. The abstract list type we have just seen. And we have printf formatters for white int. Okay, the type int will be removed. We will have white int only internally. So that's also on the CIPA. Okay, some other changes. I also want to emphasize that from 8.5 to 8.6, we had changes where scripts must be changed. That always happened. So for me, the change up there was quite intense, and we had it in many extensions. So, yeah. Okay, then 8.6.10 to 8.6.11, we had added the surrogates, and many people think that's a critical point. The people who use the work of Christian Werner, so the Androwisch people, he just compiled it with a right size, so UTF-8 was large enough to take emojis, but that didn't happen on main port, and we had some surrogates, and then we have it in SQLite database fields, and we have it internally, and we have it somewhere. If you push it into anything was possible, and the bugs caused by that are popping up regulatory 1-2 per month anywhere in Tickle. So that's quite a problem. This next point, name resolution, stop resolving unqualified variables globally, was shown by Rolf. The size of TCL unichar, so that's directly linked to what I was told before. So Androwisch always used 4 in this point, and now we have enough space to put a full Unicode into it. We don't need any surrogates anymore. The list optimization, I already spoke about it. Then the remove the special rules for arrays. So before there was a rule that the next closing bracket closes is the end of the index, despite on what is in the middle. So this one here has the open bracket as list index, and of course that doesn't nest and so on. So this was removed, and now same for curly braces. So now you have to write it like that or like that to get that. Yeah, I'm sorry for it. Thanks to Andreas, he can tell you more about it. Mm-hmm. So another point, bytes are now in range from 0 to 255. Anything higher is not anymore just accepted as bytes. We have seen that with Rolf. The load DLL command now creates the name of the init function. It cannot specify it anymore. And for Microsoft, the minimum Windows version is version 7. So we don't support XP anymore. Okay. The TCT. The committee, we have currently a great group. Thank you all. But we will now hear Steve Landers, perhaps, how to handle that. what to do with a BCP. I want to speak a bit about the future. One idea is to postpone Tickle 8.7 in favor to Tickle 9. Jan Neidmans has given some open points. And yeah, my personal goal is to get Tickle 9 out of the door as soon as possible. In respect of all the work I've just shown, which was done, and in the background that, especially the last year, it was really ruggedized, and Tickle 9 is in a state where a couple of people are using it with big success, and the advantages are great. So especially if we have seen before the talk of ACS. So of course we want to migrate everything to 9.0. And my personal view is that when it will be out, we will pass a critical mass and we will have many people who want to go there. And yeah, it will be a great future. Thank you. Okay, open points, I'm sorry. Don Porter has also given some information by an email on the call list. He has written something about limitation range, which was already said. Don Porter is the release manager and the key person, so for me, if he writes something, it's like message from the god. So I always try to to be very quick in answering and handling and so on. Yeah, and yeah, return codes, he thinks, okay, he proposed a type dev. I have seen directly some work on this type dev, so that was implemented, so other people thought was also a good idea. Okay, thank you all. Now it's Steve Landers. So, while we take a minute in preparation, I want to invite a bit for the panel. So, people I want to invite for the panel will be the present TCT members, which is Andreas Kuprius. And Andreas, I met first time in 2001, I think, in Hamburg when he presented, perhaps it was 2002, I don't know, when he presented the abstract file system, how it's the name, not abstract, something like that, where we have something like abstract lists, but for files. And yeah, so thank you for that. He's a longtime member of the community. Second person is Brian. We have just seen. The third person I want to invite is Rolf Ade for his work, constant work on it. And what we have seen today is about Navi server ported and looked to Tickle 9, which was new for me. So thank you a lot to doing on the work. So I want to invite Gustav also to the panel. But first it will be Steve Landers. Steve Landers is in Australia, so it is night time for him at the moment. And he said, well, he will keep up awake. And Steve Landers is a bit like me. We don't know very well the details. We often say the wrong thing, but we try to do community work. And we try to get our wizards happy and to identify what is good work and to get it in the core and also to protect them a bit from discussions and yeah, try to get good things in the core and make it done. So Steve is a bit my partner in this mission, I would say. Okay, thank you. So okay, the second person which will be online today, he does not have a speech, but he will be present, is Jan Neidmans. It's written N-E-G-T DMANS, so in Dutch that's made night months. And he is, I would say, the most active person in coding in Tickle NTK. And the last time we have fixed so many bugs and we have made the test suite so great so that we are really chasing bugs and are very stable. And Jan is also in front of this point. And he has 10 ideas, 9 are great and 1 are a bit debatable. So that's how to deal it. Here's Steve on the screen. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. Loud and clear. I'm just getting confused between the streams, but what I should do is I'll actually start the stream so at least I'm looking at the room, but I'll mute it so it does, I don't hear myself. Or maybe I don't need to do that. You can hear me. All right. Well, I'll make a start. I'll share my screen, and we can start. Okay. Let's see if this works. Yes, it looks like it's working okay. Well, firstly, I'd like to thank Harold, Stefan, Gustav, and all those involved in the organization. Thank you very much for the offer to keep me awake half the night and rant. I'm quite happy to do that. I'm hearing absolutely nothing from, I assume that I'm not muted, but yeah, I can hear something now. Okay. Just confirm that it's coming through loud and clear, please. Great.
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Well, right, let's get into it. Please interrupt me if you see the need. Harold has given us the detail, and what I would like to do is to focus on the big picture. Many of these thoughts I want to share with you are just my own. They are unrefined and untested, but hopefully they'll stimulate some discussion and perhaps some progress. We have, as we've discussed, we've got several pressing needs within the TCL community, most notably to get 9.0 out the door. But there's also several related needs that we need to address as well, so that TCL 9 will become widely available and it will continue to evolve at a much faster rate. I'll go through each of these in turn, but with TCL 9, I think our singular focus should be getting TCL 9 out the door. It's starting to resemble a teenager that never wants to leave home. It's not that it isn't capable, it just doesn't have the confidence. And this is partly our own fault because many of us, perhaps most of us, use TCL 8, 7 or 9 anyway because TCL alphas and betas are relatively high quality. So we need to release it so others can benefit, but we have limited resources. And in my opinion, and the opinion of a number of people, this means we really should think about just focusing on TCL 9 and perhaps deferring 8.7 until after 9 is released, maybe not even releasing 8.7 at all. Whilst that will have some downside, potential downside, it's something that we should seriously consider given the amount of resources we've got. The TCT members I've discussed this with, which is not all of them, but a lot of them agree, but we've made no formal decision. And in any case, we can focus on 9 and defer making decisions about the future of 8.7 until we see how 9.0 goes. As you've seen from a lot of the discussions today, there's been there's been quite an effort involved with testing against TCL-Lib and TK-Lib. Rolf, Stuart Kasoff, Kevin Walzer, Ashok have all been involved in that. We have, Andreas told me that Chava has been working with TCL9 for perhaps 3 years, which doesn't surprise me. And I'd be very interested in hearing in the discussion any feedback Chava has on his experience with porting his excellent software to TCL9. So you're just stuck with, oh yeah, screen sharing is paused. Okay, let me just find out why that is.
Yes, Steve, we always see only your TCL, state of
yeah,
TCL.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand that. What? I'll just stop the screen sharing and restart it. Oh, there we go. Is that coming through? No, it's not. I'll just restart the screen sharing and we'll see what happens. I'm going to blame Zoom, but it is possible I push something.
Now it works.
Yeah, so the singular focus on 9.0, testing against TCL-Lib. And one of the things that we've obviously talked a bit about today is the need to finalize those encoding changes. And the final thing we need to do is start thinking about how we prepare the documentation. What documentation we need, release notes. Harold's work that you've just seen is just an excellent start into preparing release documentation. We need migration guides. There's a whole bunch of what we might call para technology that needs to be around the core itself for a release. So very much interested in focusing on 9.0 so that we don't have to double this up. The other point I wanted to raise is about the messaging. That is the promotion and communication of TCL and related technology. It has been argued that TCL is the best kept secret in IT, and at times it seems like we make it harder than it should be for people to find out and use the technology. I don't think our goal should ever to be to conquer the world. It's always going to be a niche technology. But we should at least present and promote the value proposition better. So concurrent with releasing TCL9, I'd like to see us do a whole bunch of things. And I'm taking the lead in some of these things with the help of many other people. The first one's the online documentation. The wiki itself looks pretty good, if I don't say so myself, because I actually styled it. But it was based on Bootstrap 3. But the man pages look like they've dropped out of, through a time warp from the 1980s, and it really doesn't present the language well. The www website did get a makeover, a CSS makeover a few years ago, but really it needs severe pruning and restyling. The other one I wanted to flag is that... Actually, I might just back up here a bit and give you a comment on the documentation. So there is a project underway which a new community member, John Calesa, has taken the lead on, and it's basically about converting the existing documentation and www to Markdown, and then generating HTML and NROF off the back. This is looking quite good. Even today, Sean sent through to me some more updates. So there's stuff we're doing to make it look more modern, and I'm hoping we can present some of this in an upcoming virtual meeting. Now, the other thing is, if just as an aside, if you're not aware, we do have a monthly virtual Tickle meetup held on the second Tuesday of each month when the time is rotated to suit different time zones. And we use the open source Jitsi messaging software for that. Usually goes for about an hour, at most two. The next meetup will be Tuesday the 8th at 8 p.m. and 8 p.m. Western Europe time. which means it's 2 a.m. for me, so I'm going to let Harold take the lead on that one. But if you're at all interested in TCL and related technology and meeting with other ticklers, that's a great time to do it each month. You don't have to turn your camera on if you don't want to, or even your microphone, but I digress. The other thing I feel is it would be nice to have a single Why Tickle page that we could point interested people to, and certainly one that we could point people to without apologising first. I actually had this happen to me last night. Someone, a good friend, said, well, why should people consider TCL? And it'd be nice to point them at a page. And it'd be nice to have a single page where we could have a consolidated, updated information site. We've sort of got that with the front page of the wiki and the most recent changes and the message of the day. But it'd be nice to get in a single place blogs, articles, latest news, etc. That's the messaging. I'll take questions at the end. But once someone has decided to try Tickle, and forgive me for calling it Tickle, it depends on the audience. But once somebody's tried to decide, getting it and trying it is just too hard. There was a recent development on the wiki itself where Jeff Smith, the author of CloudTK, has implemented a Tickle playground. So on the wiki title bar, you can see playground, you can enter TCL commands and away you go. And TK, it's a full TK implementation. Essentially, it's a Tickle TK running in a virtual window. That's great, but it would still be nice to be able to send someone to a single download page where they could download Tickle, a pre-built Tickle for their favorite platform. It's not a radical concept in 2023, but we don't do it. We make it by omission or commission, we make it hard. We used to have, with ActiveState, we used to have a sort of a single source of downloads, but they no longer support ongoing releases. So what if we had a replacement? What if we had a single page with listed downloads for all the common platforms? And what if the downloads were blessed by the community so you could have some reasonable certainty that you weren't going to download a bag full of viruses? And then going further with that thought, I just heard an enormous amount of feedback. Going further with that thought, what if the TCL was at least for the initial downloads, was distributed as a single file executable? Then an install would just be a download, an upgrade would be a replace, and an uninstall just a deletion. In my case, I don't build on Windows, but I'd be quite happy to test on Windows against any of my applications, but as long as I could trust the source of the binary. The other point is, has been mentioned, we now have zip kits available. So the single file download could be based on zip kits. And in fact, we already have zip kits being generated by the Google continuous integration pipeline developed by Donald. We just need to copy them off somewhere and host them and put a nice front end. Then the next question that flows from that is, well, what should the distributions look like? And I'd like to suggest we give serious consideration to a light version, which is just the core, and the batteries included, which is and perhaps provide both. Sure, we need to agree on which extensions to include, but I reckon if we've got Christian, Paul, Ashok, and a few others in a room with a couple of cartons of beer, you'd get a good solution. And one that would address most needs, at least for getting people started. And perhaps if we did this, it would reduce the push for people to add features to the core. Because when I hear somebody say this should go into the core, what I'm actually hearing them say is, I want to be able to access this on the platforms that I use. Not necessarily that they want a particular package to come under the strict type control, tip control that the core has. Forgive me for looking at my notes down here. I just haven't figured out how to put them on the screen. The other, The other thing with using a zipkit mechanism is that we could use it for release testing. If I was able to download an alpha or a beta of TCL9, I'd be happy to test it on every platform I have access to and then delete it afterwards. And I could do that without the risk of it interfering with my existing installed software. Today, I actually accidentally replaced my 8.7 with 9.0 while doing some testing. And I had to go back and rebuild. I don't like doing that. Anyway, release cadence, almost there. I hope we all agree that we need to get releases out more frequently. Sometimes that's not possible, but I'd like to think we could once again aim for one release per year. It seems to be the minimal expectation in the open source world. If a package doesn't get a release a year, it's called dead. And even if there was only one bug fix in the release, I'd still think it would be worth releasing it. But it gets worse when we've got a major release coming along like TCL9, because then there's a push for every new feature to be included, sometimes before they're ready. More frequent releases would allow us to use a phrase, eat the elephant in bite-sized chunks. But we also need to consider some of our rules about when breaking changes can be made. Currently, we can only make breaking changes in a major release, and the release cadence for major releases is measured in decades. Hence the pressure to get everything in the release and make it perfect. What if new features could be changed in their first release? And that would give you a year to back up and try again. To release often in the small community, I'm getting behind on my notes here. To release often in a small community, we need to make better use of automation. Such as we're already doing with the continuous integration. We also have a great automated test suite, and it's getting better all the time. And my apologies, but I forget who did most of that work recently. It might have been Nathan, I'm not sure. And of course, this would be enhanced by using zipkits to make the test builds more widely distributed. But we also need to spread the load. At the moment, it's concentrated on a few people in certain areas, and specifically the TCT, which leads to my last point, which is about the expansion of the TCT. The TCT currently comprises 14 members, of which 10 are active, possibly only 9. During the recent push for 9.0 features, there was a flurry of tips, and it became overwhelming to the extent that many tips were approved with just 2 votes. And arguably some features were accepted before they were ready. And that's no one's fault. And it's been largely, but it's not ideal and has been largely addressed, but we want to prevent it from happening again. More frequent releases with fewer changes will help, as will allowing the first release of a feature to be revised or reverted. But we really need more eyeballs looking at proposals. And this is what led me to produce that document earlier in the year calling for an expansion of the TCT. I won't go into all the details here, but in summary, I suggested significant expansion of the TCT with any active and respected community member being considered. I would imagine a doubling of the size of the TCT and with members dropping off if they haven't been active and engaged for maybe a year. With the current inactive membership, that's probably 20 new members. So if this goes ahead, and if you are asked, please consider, and if you aren't asked, please don't hesitate to volunteer. The response to the draft proposal has been positive, and once we get past the Tickle 9 push, I plan to formally propose it, and this should set us well for the future. So there it is. My perspective is that we're in a reasonably good position to meet these needs if we keep an eye on the big picture. And to borrow an expression, we don't let the great become the enemy of the good. a relatively small community. We have a lot of activity, as you've seen from Harold's presentation and others. We now need to turn that activity into achievement by getting TCL9 out the door and widely available, and then keep it evolving at a much faster rate than we have in the past. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Great.
I'm not hearing any audio.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Great. We will prepare the panel now. Can you stop sharing, please? So may I invite Andreas, Brian, Rolf, and Gustav to that place. I think I will take the other microphone.
Hi.
Hello, Jan. Welcome. So Jan Nijtmans from the Netherlands. Welcome to the discussion. So we are complete.
It's difficult to hear you from the room.
Yeah, I have a bit of echo.
Yeah, I'm having trouble.
Yeah, I think it's my mic who caused the issue.
Yeah, can you turn that off?
Yeah.
Yes, Steve, I hear you very well, but no other issues.
It sounds like the microphone is coming from the laptop. Well, the sound is coming from the laptop microphone.
Okay, so first I want to start with a round from our experts, so to give your opinion how to continue with Tickle. And in the next phase, I want to discuss some key points. So the key points are, what is missing to release Tickle 9? What is your opinion? And the second release point is a plan how to get the release out of the door. So are there any other ideas for the panel? So that's my proposal, and I would invite Jan to start his statement about the state of Tickle. Thank you. Jan, you have heard what I've said?
We're not hearing. Yeah, and I think he invited you to say something, but I'm not sure what.
Yeah,
I also cannot hear what they
Great, we hear you now. Thank you.
A lot of gale or a lot of circulation of the sound, so I cannot understand the question.
Stefan, why don't you just drop the questions into either the Tickler's chat or into the Zoom chat, then Jan and I can read them off there if we're asked a question.
Okay, yeah, it's quite sad if you cannot hear. So first point was from each panel member, where we have six, his point of view. What is your point of view about the Tickle state? Yeah, okay, so I should go here so we don't have the interference with the loudspeakers. Good. So please, Jan and panel members, what is your point of view about the state of Tickle 9 and your point for the next step? Thank you. Jan, please start.
Well, what I hear is the final view, but after that I did not understand. So if you can type the question, I hope you all can hear me.
We can hear you.
Okay, so I hardly hear you. There's so much reflection of the sound that it's simply not understandable for me. So the final view on what? On my statement on the state of Tickle 9. Well, I think Tickle 9 is quite stable, but yeah, a few things needs to be done. Yet, I think I agree with Steve. His remark was finalize the encoding. I think that's the big thing to be decided now. And there are a few small ones, but all are related to that. I also would like to focus on bringing Tickle 9 out of the door. It's currently, well, with the voting state, like Steve said, if only one or two people are voting and a lot of discussions, fights are going on, it sends away people. People don't want to contribute to that anymore. That's the feeling, why people are hesitating to vote. And, well, that could be partly handled by writing better the tips, be very careful in how it is written, how it is well explained, so that people understand the ideas behind it and really see where it is going. But yeah, that's the problem at the moment. In my personal view, there are about five tips that should be done. One big one and four small ones. But I'm sure other people will say, hey, I want this in. Hey, I want that in. And we have to decide on that. It's not only my decision. That's a little bit clear. Much better.
Excellent. Yeah, it's great.
that's obvious. This decision has to be made. And then we will have an extended alpha and beta release. It's a breaking version. This is, there's no other way than to have an extended alpha and beta phase. So if the major decisions are taken, we will see how it works out. We need the stuff rolled out with an official label, and then we see what's coming back if people start to adapt.
I agree with this, what's been said so far. I'd like to double down on what Steve said, that we ought to automate the release process, and this might be a good point, good place to start that. Start automating releases of the builds that are done on GitHub already, and make it based on some reasonable criteria, and just start sending out alpha releases and beta releases on a regular basis. Otherwise, we're not going to know what we don't know unless we get it out there.
Well, I am generally agreeing with all the others before me that the main issue looks to be the encoding stuff. We have partially inherited from 8.6, partially going into 8.7 and the changes there. So resolving these should be, I believe, a very big priority, not just with our I.O. stream, but also with the file names. I can personally attest I have been bitten by this kind of thing, where Glob sees something and Open then fails on it and says, no, this doesn't exist. This is basically, in my case, you take a CD with some classic music and you rip it to your file system and you get then file names with umlauts, CDs, and other accented characters. And at that point, you have lost, and the only thing you can do is basically rename the files before something based on Tickle sees them. For example, I have a personal backup program which goes through the file system, and then it sees all such files, and then it goes bonkers. And so this is definitely also something which has to be solved beyond just what encoding profile we want as a default and the error handling, then to report an error when read or get runs into an encoding error. On the tension between releasing 8.7 and 9, I also believe that we should focus on 9 first. And when we see what we have broken between the Tickle 8 series and the Tickle 9 series, then we can see in the comparison what we might be, what we could possibly move forward in the 8.7 to make it nearer to 9 while keeping compatibility. Yes?
Please talk into the microphone. The others can't hear you.
Oh. And, yeah, okay. Where was I? Oh, okay. 8.7, 8.9. The main thing is that with 9 we will want some compatibility breakage to get rid of cruft from the old thing. So even if we put in the 8.7 to go nearer to 9 while keeping compatibility, some things have to be cut, and where we have to say, okay, here we won't be compatible. What was also mentioned was the automatic building. So yes, we have some GitHub actions, I'm not sure how they are set up. That is something that
Donald Fellows has done. So we should likely coordinate with him to see how we can extend that to, instead of just building things and running the test suite, what else we can basically put into this automatic stuff to make it a proper full release, and how far we can push that to push such releases then to other systems for the official downloads and stuff. And
on that topic, Andreas, I've already had those conversations with Donald. Basically, it's just a matter of copying the binaries off the Google platform to somewhere else, but we have to have a mechanism to trigger when to copy. We could consider putting some extra smarts into the single file executable so that it could unpack itself into the file system, but that's a bigger issue. Donald and I have definitely been talking about it, and I think it's, at this point we should just try it and see what happens.
Another thing to consider there is, I don't know if GitHub Actions support building Windows or Mac executables. If they do, then we should look into that.
Yeah, we've already got ZipKits. I've never tried them on Windows or Mac, so I don't know how. The Mac in itself can be quite complicated depending on how it's built as to what versions it'll run on. But that's something we can all look at. So I'm more than happy to add that to my ever-growing list of things to look at.
Okay. I guess with that, I am also done with my part in this round. So I'm...
Thanks to all panel members for the statements. Really great. Next point, I want to ask the audience if there are any statements from your side. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so we have a double microphone. So the next question would be anybody from the audience, someone wants to give a statement, was thinking about Reinhard Max, about packaging or something like that. Yeah, you must come down and queue here. So we have the hot seat here to sit down.
Double microphone. So my name is Marcus, and in the context of automation, I had the idea of maybe providing an official Docker image, because we have talked about Docker today, and is that, at least from my perspective, if I want to try some new language or something, I usually go for a Docker image because I don't have to install all the dependencies on my machine. And also, it is not going away. Containers are not going away as a technology. So in the context of automation, if it is easily possible, I think it would be worth considering.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that, although with the single file TCL executables, there are no other dependencies. But then with Docker, you get isolation and various other advantages. I use Docker images all the time for exactly the reasons you do, Marcus, but I never build them myself. So if we can get some assistance with building them, now maybe all it is in the Docker is a single file executable, so it's somewhat trivial. But we could add those onto the list of download. We could add those onto the list of available platforms for downloading. So all doable. I just need some help in putting that together.
Yeah, I mean, I have Dockerized some Tickle applications, but not So I haven't Dockerized Tickle itself. I just made a custom Docker file. It should not be that much of a problem. If you use GitHub Actions for that, I also have some experience with this, so I could take a look at it.
That'd be greatly appreciated. You can get my email from all of the usual places. And if you want to reach out, the other thing is the the monthly meetup, if you're able to jump onto that, that's a good place to talk about these things as well.
Excuse me, I didn't catch the last part.
Oh, I was just saying that there's also the monthly meetup available, but it would be good to have an extended discussion about Dockerizing, perhaps on the meetup. There certainly will be people there that are also doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
You have to excuse me. It's just pushing midnight here, and I'm about to turn into a pumpkin.
Okay, thank you.
I think one of the problems Dockerizing is that it won't work for TK.
So, Jan, you said that Docker won't work with Tickle 8?
No, with TK.
Ah, with TK. Okay, thank you. Okay. So, thanks for that part. The next part I want to discuss, I would say, a plan direction release of Tickle 9. So, what can you see as concrete steps and concrete timeline possibilities. Also, how Tunko, the main point of discussion is also how to convince Donald Porter to make a release, or to perhaps find a way to do it. Yeah, for us also the person Donald Porter is a great member, but it's not so active in releasing or in pushing. And what can we do on that point? Can we think about a possible timeline to do the actions? May I ask for, and that's the final round for the expert round, because we are already half an hour late. So I want to ask your ideas on that point. Okay, may I start with Jan?
Yes, well, I am partly guilty of what happened last year, that someone said, hey, it could be the end of the year. Well, I was the one last year shouting that in the hope from, hey, if you want something, you should push out a message, hey, that's possible and let's get all to it. Well, it helped that a lot of people got a lot of more active, but, it was not successful in order to stop it in September, October. It's not me who decides the decisions when to make a release. So I can imagine that last year, when there was a lot of protest against the way that the strict encoding was implemented, it was right. So I'm very glad that Ashok stepped in and gave a better proposal. But so I also fully understand that Don Porter is waiting for making a release, because if people are still discussing that one saying, no, it should be this way, and another one is saying, no, it should be that way, well, then we should wait until that settles down and people come to a conclusion. So one of the good points what happened then is that a meeting was organized. Steve was part of it, Nathan was a part, and Ashok. We discussed with our four people how to go on further, and I think that was quite productive in how to go on. And I think we should do that more, not nightly sessions like that, but we could communicate more like, in a Tickle Core group, or just react on each other. If someone gives an opinion, react on that without it ending in a mud fight. That's what's at parts happened. And that's other people reading that doesn't give a big confidence on what's happening. And I'm also searching for ways how to improve that, to improve the communication between all of us, in order to come to an agreement and come to a conclusion and then implement that. That's the challenge, I think. It's not technical. Technical, everything can be solved, but it's humans operating with each other. So the timeline, I'm not saying, hey, the end of this year, there will be Tickle 9. I hope so. I will try to continue to push. But, well, last year, I didn't keep that promise. Well, I don't know. It's not in my, not fully in my hands that we have seen that.
Yes, thank you, Jan. So I try to capture a bit. So you propose to make again a key group meeting on the encoding issue. So last time the key group were Nathan, Rolf, Ashok, and yourself. And yeah, maybe that's again the right group to make a discussion and find solutions. And we charge Steve to organize it again if possible. It's late for Steve, but still, still some power.
Still awake. And look, one thing I'd like to say about those meetings is that it wasn't a case of everyone getting together, holding hands, and agreeing on everything. But there were ideas thrown around. There wasn't one perfect solution, but everyone worked constructively towards finding an acceptable solution and moving forward. So there was an enormous amount of goodwill, and there were disagreements by all means. So I'm quite confident that if we did do that again, if need be, and it isn't easy, I might add, because you've got people all around the world, so time zones come into play. But I'm confident that these remaining big issues on encoding can be addressed, and as Jan said, they're people issues more than technical ones. So I think, Jan, we can, between us, make sure that happens in a reasonable timescale. There's a lot of other stuff as well, but those are the big ones.
Thank you.
I agree on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
good.
You should start in September. Now it's vacation time. After September, we can pick up a lot of things.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I just want to give a point from the chat. So Ashok, great member, asked about a test system for big numbers. So Rolf has experience with that, how to test big amount of money, of memory. Yeah. And Ashok has a machine which has half the size of memory than Rolf, and we are really puzzled how he makes tests, but he did it. So they also ask about how to test big amount of numbers. Are there any ideas how to do that? Yeah, so that's his question in addition. Okay, so thank you, Jan, and I have noted make a key group and no commitment for a date. Like last year, especially with the support of Jan, you said, okay, last tip run, and then we will push it out what was last year. And I think which worked well, but then we had the obstacle of the encodings which was not in best shape. And so we are doing now another round, and we have found that out. And especially compared to last year, we are great in big memory. So many, many bugs in this feature were fixed, and we are good there. Okay, come to the next person, which is Steve. Steve, your ideas about a plan how to get Tickle 9 out of the door.
So, Steve, may I ask you about possible plan how to get Tickle 9 out of the door? Thank you.
Kick it. I think we need to address these remaining key issues because they're fundamental issues to deal with the last remaining, let's say, blocking changes. I'm not familiar with the other tips you mentioned, Jan, but are those any of those contentious, or is it just a matter of bringing them to a vote?
Others are, I think, just bring it to a vote. I mean, there are a few of them, I think three of them. I also saw a few from Don Porter, just to keep, to re-enable a function that was declared deprecated, to put it back. Such kind of small things. So,
why don't we aim to get those, bring those to a vote as quickly as possible, if they're not contentious, even though it's the holiday or the vacation season, and then we'll aim to maybe resolve the encoding issues by the end of September.
I can start the vote or a tip warning. I can put them out for about three or four of them that I think are ready, that I don't think there are any controversy. I can do that.
Good.
Today.
In the meantime, I'll work with Donald and Marcus and others and see if we can work out how we can produce these single file executables for testing, which will make it a lot easier for people to put it on their machine. And I mean, ideally, we'd supply a single file executable that contained the test suite, so it could test itself wherever it's placed. But it may have to be a tarball or zip file with the executable. We can work that out later. But basically, if we can aim to be distributing binary distributions sometime in the start of the third quarter, with a view to as many people as possible starting to test these out. Now, that's not going to test the people who are extension builders and all the rest of it, but at least we'll be testing something in that time scale. And then depending on what the results are, we can have a conversation with Don about cutting some alphas. The other thing, Brian, did you want to give an update on your reaching out to Don?
I've sent a few emails to Don. We've only had one exchange around, but he's been hard to get in contact with. But I do see he's active on the core, doing check-ins and merging and stuff. So he is looking at the code, but I haven't heard any communications yet. I'm going to keep trying to reach out to him and get a hold of him and start a dialogue.
Let's see if we can have a video call with him and just bring him up to speed on what we're trying to achieve. Sometimes face-to-face is better. Increasingly, I'm finding that communicating via email just takes longer than it really should.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Next is Gustav.
I'm not sure if I can come up with many new points here. I think important points is, first of all, we have to signal to Don that the main core community is happy with whatever is in the repository. This will certainly motivate a release, certainly. And another thing is, I think it's also important to keep also Ashok motivated. I'm not really following in all details all of the discussion, but I read some certain amount of, let's say, frustration of giving up on certain tips. I mean, we should listen carefully what are the, why is he frustrated, and why are sometimes the discussions complicated, and therefore trying to avoid such situation is, I think, important, and the only way of getting this done is conversation. I think it was mentioned already, having a couple of meetings, person to person, also in smaller group, is, I think, the right way to go. And I think the third point is also mentioned before, is automation. I mean, if the release process is less work than it is currently, it is also likely that the release manager is more or less pushing for more releases. I mean, I've been the release manager of many releases, and it's a long process of getting whatever. I have a long list of tests I'm doing there with various whatever static checkers and Facebook infer and whatever, and it will take some time to get it done. But if the thing is more and more automated, releases will go up. And I think one step was already happening there with this change log, whatever, editing or summarizing. This is, I mean, a lot of work. I mean, we heard it also today from the OpenSS release. We have the 16K of lines, and trying to get a summary out of this is a lot of work. But it's also, I think, important. I mean, because nobody else would like to read these 16K lines. Therefore, it's also the same thing here again. Releasing early and often is certainly helping there to avoid this kind of big whatever steps where you have to go through a long list of changes. Therefore, I think it's somewhat related that the longer there is no release, the more people are forgetting why was this change made and what are the main points for this and discussion items. Just this, I think that's the main point from my point of view. I mean, I think that the code as it is pretty stable, and it's everybody knows that it's in a good shape, except of the discussion points we have.
Well, on the topic so far, most has been said. I want to say regarding resolve small tips fast. I actually only want to say or add that we should resolve first what the set of tips to resolve is, and so that we know what we are looking at and can stick to it, instead of having other tips coming up and to also be resolved surprisingly. So basically determine first what we have to resolve, and then go systematically through that and do the resolution, the discussion and resolution. And everything we don't put into the set is then out of scope, and has to be done after the release, after the first alpha or beta. That's the thing.
Thanks, Andreas. Jan has given a list of tips, which is, in his point of view, in scope. And I also see your point. We have recently a lot of tips which may be considered as out of scope. Actually, all tips are related, which are in scope, are related to encodings, more or less. Yeah. So,
actually, for that, it means as part of a plan, we should see how they are related, where the dependencies are, so that we start at the things which are independent, and then we know how they are resolved, and then we can go through to the dependent ones basically.
Thank you.
Topological sorting for all of us in computer scientists.
I also, well, for me, it's also the moment end of discussion in a way for new points. And personally, on many discussions, I don't care anymore. I just want to get it done. In the sense, if an option is called bump or whatever, at the end, we discuss those points to the end, and the main point, do we need it or not, is not discussed. So that's also where I say end of discussion. Okay, then it is called bump. Okay. Yeah, that's just an example, but Okay, so I want to thank all members of the panel. It is really a pleasure that you engage for Tickle. I want to thank to the online people, and especially for Steve for the late time. It is 3 a.m. Don't remember. It's quite late now. So I want to thank.
It's actually
to all.
It's early on Friday.
Okay. I want to thank all people in the audience for your support, and we will now have a break of 1 hour, and I think when is the key part? It's 10 minutes. Okay.
So actually, so thanks to the panelists again. Thanks to Harald for moderating. Thanks to our remote attendants and participants.